This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.
China intervenes to boost markets, but fixing its property sector won't be so easy. Plus, America's Commerce Secretary visits Beijing. Can she salvage U.S.-China ties?
These new restrictions on technology imports are definitely having broader implications. The big question is whether the two countries can allow their business to continue operating outside of these small areas.
And 3M nears a settlement in the largest tort case in U.S. history. It's Monday, August 28th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in China, where the government this morning announced several initiatives to boost the markets after a broad slide in Chinese stock prices in recent months. Markets reporter Rebecca Fung is in Hong Kong. Rebecca, tell us about these moves. What exactly has been announced here?
So the first thing which was done by Ministry of Finance is to cut stamp duty on securities transactions from 0.1% to 0.05%. And given that stamp duty is the big chunk of stock trading cost, this should be able to spur trading and kind of boost confidence. And the second thing the Chinese securities regulator did was they said that they would slow the pace of IPOs. Exactly how, we're not clear on that, but this should be able to address the demand and supply side of capital markets.
Rebecca, there are a lot of areas of concern in the Chinese economy now. Do these steps address much beyond capital markets?
No, these are supposed to be short-term measures. And economists were saying that to address the long-run concerns, there needs to be economic stimulus, because ultimately the stock market is not doing very well because people are not very optimistic about the future economy. So these kind of tactical measures will only address the short-term woes, if you will, of the Chinese stock market.
Rebecca, and might that explain why as many stocks in mainland China were up today, that property giant China Evergrande was way down in its return to trading?
Yeah, so Evergrande shares this morning plunged around 80%. It has gone through the 17-month trading halt. And we've seen quite a few developers now that they resume trading and their shares really, really plunged on the first day. And it's a reflection of how there's deep trouble within the Chinese property sector. The Chinese government hasn't unveiled any sort of substantial measures to kind of turn the property sector around. And Evergrande actually published its first half results last night. And it's actually a slight improvement from the first half in 2022, but the fact that its shares still plunged a lot, it's a reflection of how the property market itself really just hasn't turned around.
That was the Journal's Rebecca Fung in Hong Kong. Can the U.S. and China pull out of a tailspin in their bilateral relations? Over the weekend, U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo became the latest American official to travel to Beijing in an attempt to salvage ties. And our reporter Yuka Hayashi has been following the visit, which includes a meeting with China's commerce minister today. Yuka, Secretary Raimondo has said that she will hold firm on U.S. national security interests, but that she's also looking to maintain stability between these two countries. That sounds like a very fine line to walk.
Yes, that's right. In the past few months, the Biden administration has really stepping up efforts to stabilize the relationship with China after they deteriorated very badly over the past few years. So Raimondo is the third cabinet secretary to visit Beijing, and one of her main goals is to set the floor for the bilateral relations. And at the same time, she is the Commerce Secretary, so it is very important for her to promote U.S. business interests.
Yuka, you say the Biden administration is stepping up efforts to stabilize the relationship, and yet things seem to have been getting worse lately, not better, at least judging from the headlines.
We are getting mixed signals. So the fact that very senior U.S. officials have visited China marks a huge improvement. But at the same time, the Biden administration has been really stepping up efforts to put pressure on China to block the transfer of critical technologies and the competition between the two countries in the technology area has been heating up. So in that sense, the tension is higher.
And what might a path back to more stable relations look like? Is it something that Secretary Raimondo or anyone else in the Biden administration has sketched out?
So today, Secretary Raimondo met with her Chinese counterpart, the Commerce Minister. And one of the first things that she said was establishing communications is just very, very important because that's how you prevent crisis from happening. So those channels of communication is the first step toward stabilizing the bilateral relations. One of the main goals of Secretary Raimondo's visit is to pave the way for a summit meeting between President Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping visits the U.S. in November for the meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Group.
Do we know what Beijing makes of all of this?
So we have been told that the visit by Secretary Raimondo happened after repeated requests from the Chinese side. So she has profiles that are very important for China, business promotion, technology rules, export controls, as well as things like tourism. So there are a lot of things that the Chinese side wanted to discuss with her.
Might that give us some insight then into who may have leverage in this relationship now?
A lot of experts are saying that now that China's economy is facing a difficult time, there's more incentive for the Chinese side to try to improve the relationship with the U.S. And that could prevent declines in investments by American companies in China. So definitely from the Chinese perspective, there are more reasons to improve the relationship with the U.S.
Though I take it, Yuka, that does not necessarily mean that either Washington or Beijing is going to change course, right, on prioritizing national security over economic cooperation.
That is the issue. The U.S. has this policy of a small yard, high fence, which is to build high fence around critical technology that it really, really wants to protect. But the rest of the field is open for bilateral business, but it's really difficult to define what the critical technology is. And businesses have grown very nervous about what they can do and what they cannot. So the fact that Secretary Raimondo this time is spending a lot of her time promoting the interest of U.S. business indicates that the U.S. government now feels that it's time to make reassurance that it's okay for U.S. business to continue to operate in China as long as you stay out of this very small area of small yard high fence.
That was the Wall Street Journal's Yuka Hayashi in Beijing today. Yuka, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, 3M is nearing a deal to resolve the largest mass tort in U.S. history. We've got the latest on negotiations to settle up with hundreds of thousands of claimants, as well as much more, after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Three Three U.S. Marines have perished in an Osprey aircraft crash during a training exercise on a remote island in northern Australia. Five additional Marines have been hospitalized in serious condition following the incident, which involved 23 Marines on board the aircraft. The cause of the crash is under investigation. U.S. Marines are in northern Australia for annual training exercises that have become more important as an assertive China stokes tensions in the Indo-Pacific. 3M is nearing a settlement to resolve hundreds of thousands of claims by American veterans that earplugs made by it and a subsidiary failed to protect them from hearing loss during military service. According to people close to the discussions, 3M would pay about $5.5 billion to resolve the more than 300,000 claims that now constitute the largest mass tort in U.S. history. The company is contesting the cases and maintains the earplugs work correctly when used with proper training. 3M's ability to absorb a large payment has been diminished by a tentative settlement over so-called forever chemicals in municipal drinking water, which could cost it as much as $12.5 billion over the next 5 years. To Wall Street now, where a snapshot is emerging of an American consumer that is leaving retailers in the lurch. Stocks of retailers like Macy's, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Foot Locker have been tumbling after lackluster earnings showed that shoppers feeling the weight of higher debt and recent price hikes have been searching for cheaper items and spending less on shopping trips. It's a far cry from the pandemic-driven binges on everything from home improvement to pets and apparel. And Journal reporter Dean Seal told us that upcoming results this week from the likes of Costco, Best Buy, and Dollar General will confirm whether a new normal is setting in.
We'll probably see a mixed bag of sales reports, with some companies maintaining their top-line growth and others seeing declines. But profits will be under a lot of pressure. Higher markdowns mean lower margins on items that do get sold. We're also hearing a lot of retailers complain about inventory shrink, meaning shoplifting or employee theft or other inventory issues that cut into the bottom line. It's worth noting that some of that profit pressure might be relieved by lower costs for companies as inflation is finally coming down, but it remains to be seen whether that can meaningfully offset these other headwinds.
And Spaniards are gathering in Madrid today to rally behind soccer player Jenny Hermosa, more than a week after she was forcibly kissed on the lips by the head of Spain's soccer federation, Luis Rubiales. Despite being suspended by FIFA, Rubiales has refused to resign over the incident, which was televised during an awards ceremony after Spain's national team won the Women's World Cup. Hermosa has said that she was, quote, the victim of an assault. Spain's soccer federation, which has been in disarray over the past week, is set to hold an urgent meeting today. And with Labor Day just around the corner, many companies are again issuing stern memos to workers to repopulate offices this fall, but not Smucker's. The jam, jelly, and peanut butter maker has embraced a return-to-office plan that requires workers to be at its Ohio headquarters for 6 days a month on what it calls core weeks. And for doing that, workplace reporter Chip Cutter told us that employees can live the rest of the year wherever they want.
So Smucker says when it has a core week, about 70 to 80% of its employees actually come in, far above the national average. When you look at 10 major cities across the U.S., offices are only about 50% occupied. And we've talked to lots of CEOs, lots of HR chiefs and others who are super frustrated about this. Otherwise, compliant employees just aren't following return to work directives. And the HR chief at Smucker told me that basically, she had to come up with something that she could explain to colleagues in a way that made sense. She said people had worked remotely for 2 years in the pandemic, and they did a good job. They were successful. The company was doing fine. And so she said, how could she then turn to them and say that remote work no longer worked? And so that's in part why the company came up with this strategy.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.